Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And we are going to do a big update, a big analysis of the presidential debate. But I'm thinking maybe that was last week's news. I can't remember now because we didn't watch. And so if you were hoping for an analysis of the big election presidential debate, I think you got it last week, probably, on Glenn Beck or Tucker Carlson or Dennis Prager or can I even remember any of their names anymore? Who's the midget with the white hair who's the Republican cog in the demonic wheel? I can't remember that guy's name. He's kind of got a mop top. He's a lawyer. And I wonder if he even still has a radio show. So if he does, then I'm sure you got your analysis on the big debate from them, and so you're here for real news that actually has an impact on life on the ground here for the average American and mostly for Christians from a biblical perspective. Always here at the Weekly Worldview. After all, original thought is in the Bible. That's starting with Genesis, the very first original thought that God would create, and then from there on. And then from there, we got all the way to, well, here in the Craven Politics file. If you are craving politics, I have some Craven Politics. From the Craven Politics file, we have advertisements run by Republicans who support Israel. That's right. This is Ray Zaborni. He's a Pennsylvania Republican in charge of the Future Coalition PAC. It's very Orwellian, these PAC names. It's because nobody wants to actually admit what they're for or against, because they're mostly about deceiving one another. So even their own people. But mostly the other side. But sometimes our own people. Whatever it takes. So the Future Coalition PAC, Future Coalition means nothing. It has no meaning. It's a vacuous phrase. And so it was perfect for Ray Zaborni's Pennsylvania Republican, Pennsylvania-based Republican PAC, which is a political action committee. And Ray Zaborni and everyone who supports the Future Coalition PAC, they all support the right of Israel to exist. They support Israel in their war against Hamas. And so what they've done is they've produced a number of ads to run in Democrat, on social media, but targeted toward Democrats, touting Kamala Harris's support for Israel to make Kamala Harris voters angry with her for supporting Israel. So, why do they do that? Because they are unconscionable, ungodly, low-life, craven politicians to whom they'll say anything and do anything to win an election. And I'm not sure why, because I don't know how Donald Trump being elected helps Ray Zaborni, except maybe it helps his ego in that he was a part of it and he made America great again. I don't know. But he's willing to... I hope you understand what... In fact, let me just read from the article from Zero Hedge. A Republican Political Action Committee has launched a clever ad campaign that praises Kamala Harris for supporting the state of Israel. It then, quote, the videos feature a female narrator speaking approvingly of Harris. She stands with Israel and the Jewish people. And when supporters of a free Palestine stood up for Gaza, Harris put them in their place. She'll always support Israel. Now, normally, Ray Zaborni would always support Israel, and he would stand with Israel and the Jewish people. But can you even believe that about him now that you know he's a duplicitous, deceptive, craven politician? This is why I've lost interest in the political back and forth. This, and by the way, this is why democracies always end in an orgy of civil violence. You know, America was born in rebellion and bloodshed. And this, to me, is evidence that she will die in similar circumstance. And probably in the not-too-distant future. I mean, I hope it's not in... I don't know. I hope it's not in the next 12 months. There's some things I need to take care of, but... I'm tired of it all, so... And I'm fairly pessimistic about the future and somewhat cynical, yes. And so I hope you enjoy the rest of the show. It's bound to be upbeat from there, right? We go from America drowning into a cesspool of craven politics and devolving into an orgy of civil violence. We go from there to the death penalty file. That's right, the death penalty file. Breitbart reports that an illegal alien has been accused of raping a child on Martha's Vineyard. Now, this story came out last week, but I've been researching it, and I've been waiting to see the details because... And I waited a week, but I got to tell the story now. Now, maybe you've read this. Breitbart has a whole section that's always about bad things that illegal aliens do. And then they have another section that's always about how many people got shot in Chicago. It's because they're just a political mouthpiece. They're a tool. So they're dedicated to nothing except clickbait, primarily. And so this is one of their stories against those bad illegal aliens. So an illegal has been accused of raping a child on Martha's Vineyard. But they go on to say where Barack Obama and Oprah Winfrey are known to vacation. That's right. You know Martha's Vineyard, full of Democrats. They're bad. So they report that a 24-year-old... Yeah, why do you have to mention... So just why does Breitbart mention Oprah Winfrey and Barack Obama when they're not involved in the story and there's no evidence they were even on Martha's Vineyard at the time? Why do they mention it? Because they're craven political tools. They're just a mouthpiece for the Republican side of the political machine. In fact... It's even worse than that. It's the Republican side of the political fundraising machine, the money-raising and money-spending machine that now sits atop America and then is exercised by the criminally insane sex cult that seized the government back in 2020. But what they seized, along with the actual levers of power, was also the media and all the infrastructure of the fundraising and money spending machine that has become America's government and media working in harmony to raise money, spend money, and do nothing of very much value for anyone. And so because of that, the news, the alleged reporters, the urinalists at Breitbart, they mention Oprah and Barack Obama in relation to an illegal alien who raped a child, which is just craven. But it's a 24-year-old illegal from Brazil. He crossed the United States border near Paseo del Norte, Texas, in March of 2018. A week later, he was released into the U.S. interior. Pretty scary, right? Oh, wait. Was this 2018? Okay, that was 2018. Let's see. Who was the president back then? Let's not mention that. Let's see. ICE agents issued a detainer requesting custody of him in February of 2023 after he was arrested on Martha's Vineyard. He was charged with strangulation, suffocation, assault, battery. He was found guilty and sentenced to 364 days in prison. That's pretty that's pretty creative sentence. 364 days for strangulation, suffocation, assault, and battery. But that sentence was suspended because it was too creative. Breitbart reports dutifully that that was likely thanks to Democrat Massachusetts sanctuary state policy. And he was not turned over to ICE agents. So this is the second time in the story that Breitbart has pointed out that Democrats are to blame. Democrats are to blame that this illegal alien had no fear of justice in raping someone. It's those Democrats. Those darn Democrats are bad. Now, January of this year, ICE agents issued a detainer again after this pervert was arrested on Martha's Vineyard for 5 counts of child rape. So Breitbart dutifully reports that Barack Obama and Oprah Winfrey may have been in the neighborhood at the time. They may have provided sanctuary to this particular rapist because, you know, they vacation there. And they dutifully pointed out that the Democrat-led state of Massachusetts is a sanctuary state that sanctuaried this pervert. But you know what Breitbart never asks? The journalist at Breitbart never asked, did Greg Abbott fly this maniac to Martha's Vineyard? Because I remember when Breitbart was running stories praising Greg Abbott for his clever campaign of flying illegals to Martha's Vineyard. I remember that. Does anyone else remember that? No, we're supposed to forget about that. Anyway, so I haven't heard a peep about any of this. So I don't know the history and where this guy came from. He crossed the border in Texas. He was released into the interior in 2018. Somehow he gets to Martha's Vineyard by 2023. So I'm asking the question, did Greg Abbott fly this maniac to Martha's Vineyard? And if he did, he should be put on trial alongside this maniac. And if they're found guilty, they should be put to death. Because raping someone should be a death penalty offense. And by the way, the only way a maniac fears raping someone is if he's afraid he'll be killed. That's the control. Not electing Republicans and not saying Democrats are bad. You have to have a swift, painful public death penalty for anyone who rapes anyone or even tries to. And then suddenly nobody even tries to rape anybody almost ever again. But that's not what the fundraising and money spending machine that occupies the halls of power in America is about. They're not about actually stopping crime. They're making a fortune on it. All right. Oh, and that brings us to this. This is a heartbreaker, but here's the thing about reality, folks, is you cannot deny reality. And if you do, it will drive you insane. And so I'm just going to tear this off like a Band-Aid because just got to get it out there. Tim Tebow, we have a report from the Western Journal, which is a mouthpiece of the right side, the alleged right side of the fundraising and money spending machine, the media part. Tim Tebow wants abused children to have hope that the nightmare of their abuse can end. They describe who Tim Tebow is as if they have to. They say Tim Tebow has forged a bipartisan alliance behind the Renewed Hope Act. Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas, Democrat Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, Democrat Rep. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and Republican Representative Laura Lee of Florida all appeared with Tebow in a press conference in support of the Renewed Hope Act. What is the Renewed Hope Act all about? Well, here's Tim Tebow's own words. We're calling on Congress to pass legislation because even with law enforcement and organizations working around the clock to identify and rescue these children, it's just not enough. That's right. Tim Tebow then says we have to build an army and equip and train them to go after and rescue these boys and girls. That's what it's about. Everybody needs to be a part of the solution, says Tim Tebow. But the part he doesn't say is that everybody means especially the Tim Tebow Foundation, which will get millions of dollars from the government. Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I know that last story is a little hard to process. I'm a big fan of Tim Tebow. I was always been a big fan of Tim Tebow. I reported on him a few months ago that I was concerned that he was getting money from the government for his foundation to fight against child sex abuse. My concern is that Tim Tebow is going to get involved in the machine. And he's going to lose sight of, if he ever had sight of, true godliness. So true godliness advocates a means by which no one even thinks about abusing a child for fear of being killed painfully for doing so. Advocating criminal justice that prevents crime is a godly thing. Advocating that the government must be accountable to the law of God, the moral laws of God as laid out in the Bible, is a godly thing. That's what we need to advocate. But Tim Tebow, unfortunately, is the average evangelical empty head. He has a very thin understanding of the scripture. I'm sure it's enough to save him from hell. Okay? I'm sure. But he doesn't actually understand godliness and what it is. Tim Tebow thinks that getting involved with the government and raising money to hire people to watch the dirty videos to try to identify and rescue the boys and girls who are being raped and kidnapped, he thinks that's a godly endeavor because it employs a whole bunch of people. But that's not godliness. In fact, that's racketeering. So Tim Tebow has become a racketeer of the criminally insane sex cult that sees the government, and he thinks he's doing good. So this is the shape of Christianity today, and this is why we're losing on every front, culturally and carnally. So Tim Tebow has fallen from grace, if he ever even understood grace, since I'm sure the church that he went to was like 99% of the churches in Christianity are designed to hide grace and godliness from Christians by focusing them on being saved from hell and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's keep them focused there and thanking God that they're not going to hell, and don't let them ever learn anything else. And I think Tim Tebow grew up that way, and that's why he doesn't know any better. So, anyway, there, that's it. Like a Band-Aid, you just tear it right off. So back in, let's see, it would have been 2012. In 2012, when the Denver Broncos cut Tim Tebow, I declared on public airwaves that the Denver Broncos were dead to me. I was a big-time Denver Broncos fan. I liked sports. I was into sports. And from that day forward, I have not watched a football game, not only a Denver Broncos game, any game. And it's one of the best things that ever happened to me was to get off the whole sports thing. And stop acting like a teenage boy. And grow up. Which, unfortunately, spiritually and biblically, Tim Tebow has never made it past the age of about 7. And he's like most of the Christians in the world. And so someone has to rebuke him and say, Tim, stop. Don't get your foundation into the big money machine with the government regulating crime against children. Don't participate in the well-regulated industry of abusing, kidnapping children. Tim, that's what you're doing, and you don't even realize it. And if you people don't realize it, then you haven't listened to this show hard enough, or I have been unclear. And if I've been unclear, I apologize. I think my condemnation of Tim Tebow's actions here should make it perfectly clear where I stand. All right. Now, Tim Tebow's not dead to me. I would still talk to Tim Tebow, unlike the Denver Broncos, but they're a football team. I'll never talk to them anyways. But if Tim Tebow needed some advice, I would be happy to help. So I think he's a decent kid. He's just, you know, when there are millions of dollars involved and you end up having hundreds of people relying on you for their employment, you tend to start having a God complex. You start to think that if you and your organization don't provide these jobs for these people, that they won't have jobs. That's not true. So, Tim, your foundation could end tomorrow. And the infrastructure that God built to give people the opportunity to earn a living and support their families, that would not be harmed in any way. Not even a ripple. Not even a hiccup. So, Tim, don't let people convince you that you're the indispensable man. The graveyards are filled with indispensable men. So, all right. So, from there, we go into the war file where we check in with Vladimir Putin, who's there's been a bit of saber rattling on both sides going on for the past couple of weeks in the proxy war in Ukraine, the war between NATO and Russia. Vladimir Putin last week threatened war between Russia and NATO if the West provides missiles to Ukraine that are used to strike targets in Russia. Why? Well, Vlad says that the Ukrainians themselves can't operate these missile systems to actually fire them into Russia, and that it would be NATO personnel who would be doing that. And Mr. Putin is correct about that. And so why does he say that that would be NATO making war on Russia? It's because that would be NATO making war on Russia. NATO troops firing missiles into Russia. And he basically implied, if you do that, I'll destroy Kiev. Which he has not destroyed Kiev yet. I mean, he's knocked out the power and the water, and he's trying to make people uncomfortable. But he has not flattened Kiev. And so he threatened to do so. And that was earlier in the week last week. And then British Prime Minister Keir Starmer, is that a real name? Keir Starmer, the British Prime Minister, he met with Blinken later in the week after Putin said, look, if you guys do this, I'm going to flatten Kiev. Politico called that Putin's final bid to scare off the West. That's what they said on Friday. So Blinken meets with Keir Starmer on Saturday, and they decide to just kind of punt and not do anything. They're just going to hold off on any decisions. Why? Because Putin scared them off. Because they think that flattening Kiev might not help with the election in November, which is really what this whole war is all about. It's mostly about the 2024 election in the United States. And so Putin has scared off Keir Starmer and Anthony Blinken blinked, at least for this week. And Keir Starmer had profound words to say about the situation. This is before he blinked on Saturday. He said, Russia started this conflict. Russia illegally invaded Ukraine. Russia can end this conflict straight away. said Keir Starmer. And so anyone who's actually listening and speaks the English language would ask Mr. Starmer, Keir, if that's your real name, is there any such thing as a legal invasion? You said that Russia illegally invaded Ukraine. Could you define a legal invasion for us? Because if you can't, then that's one too many words in what you just said, which would indicate to us that you're lying about something. Because when people lie, they tend to insert extra words, like illegal in relation to invasion. All right. But you know what? Keir Starmer, he may be unaware that in 2014, NATO overthrew Putin's man in Ukraine and started the war. He may not be unaware of that because he may have only been recently produced in some sort of artificial intelligence laboratory somewhere. Where did this guy come from? I never heard of Keir Starmer. Suddenly he's the Prime Minister of England? What's going on? Are you sure that this isn't a movie or something? Keir Starmer? Okay. Pretty embarrassing. But thankfully, Keir Starmer and Anthony Blinken have the good sense to be afraid of Vladimir Putin, for crying out loud. Even if it is just for craven political interests in not wanting to see Kiev flattened before the election, because that would hurt the fundraising and the money-making machine and the criminally insane sex cult to whom they both belong. It would just be bad for business. And so Vladimir Putin saves Western civilization again, which is, that's a bad place to be, folks, when you're relying on Vladimir Putin to preserve the peace and insanity. All right. But, well, here's why, folks. I mentioned earlier, poor Tim Tebow, who's a biblically vacuous child who barely understands that Jesus died for his sins and is going to save him from hell, and he's pretty much never learned anything beyond that, except he's supposed to love everyone and care for hurting people, which that's wonderful. I mean, it's milk, but, you know, how long are you going to just stay drinking the milk? That's for as long as possible, right? And here's why. Now that's I don't think Tebow's a Catholic. I'm sure he's a Protestant. He's probably a fundamentalist or an evangelical. That's probably how he would classify himself. But let's go to the Pope for the bad religion file. You can always count on the Pope to contribute to the bad religion file almost weekly. This is from LifeSite News. In Singapore, the Pope told young people, by the way, LifeSite News run by a bunch of Catholics. They're in the Catholic Church, which says the Pope is the apostolic authority of Peter from the original church that Jesus started. That's what the Pope is, the representative of Jesus Christ on earth, according to Catholics. If you don't hold to that, you have to leave the Catholic Church. Well, unless you're a Democrat politician, then you can pretty much say whatever you want, and as long as you make donations, you're good. But LifeSite News, run by a bunch of Catholics, they say the Pope told young people in Singapore young people, that every religion, here's the quote from the Pope, every religion is a way to arrive at God. Now, the LifeSite News goes on to remind us that the Catholic Church actually teaches that it's the only true church, and that it exercises the charge given by Christ to spread the gospel to all nations and to bring souls into the church. And not only does the Catholic Church claim that, they claim to have the authority Jesus gave to the 12, that anyone's sins that are retained, they will be retained in heaven. Anyone's sins who are forgiven on earth will be forgiven in heaven. They claim that authority too. So they claim all kinds of authority. And so here's the Pope, who says all religions are a way to arrive at God. And the folks at LifeSite News, they have the courage to report that and say that they disagree with it, but they don't have the courage to leave the Catholic Church. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. So if you're part of a church on earth that claims to be the only church on earth, and then the leader of that church says something blatantly apostate, are you afraid to leave that earthly church? Because why? Aren't you supposed to care about heaven? And don't you think heaven knows when the earthly church is utterly apostate, like when you have a pope who's a communist who says that all faiths are... Does anybody understand? So here's the thing, is people are carnal. The folks at LifeSite News, the Catholic, they're utterly carnal. They might understand enough about Jesus Christ to not go to hell, maybe. It's possible. I mean, even some Catholics pick that up. I mean, as well as even that is hidden and concealed deliberately by the cult that runs the Catholic Church. As well as they conceal the gospel of just simple salvation, some Catholics get saved by accident, and I hope the folks at LifeSite News are some of the ones who accidentally veer backwards and trip and stumble into the gospel and get saved. But whatever they believe is of no value in the spiritual war, because they're so carnal, they're afraid to actually stand up and say, we're out of this church because it's obviously apostate. We're going to stand with God in heaven, which is more important than the institution on earth. Oh, wait, but there is a lot of money involved. That's true. So the folks at LifeSite News, they raise most of their money from Catholics. And of course, if the LifeSite News organization were to go away, so many people would lose their jobs. They all depend on us. So there's another God complex. People who barely even know who God is start thinking they are God. Don't worry, if your organization goes away, LifeSite News, the infrastructure God made, it'll take care of all those people. Some of them might even do things better and bigger than what you were doing, if that's even possible. Okay, now speaking of bigger and better carnality, let's go to Tucker Carlson and Glenn Beck. They're on tour. Oh, yeah, this is from the Bad Religion file. Tucker Carlson and Glenn Beck. Now, I've just offended everyone in my audience because they all listen to one of these two guys and think they're great. So, and I used to, too. Okay, I did. I used to watch Tucker Carlson every night. So I used to listen to Glenn Beck every single day when I drove around, wherever I drove around. Listen to Glenn Beck. Thought they were great. So they're on tour now. And, the Deseret.com, which I'm not sure who that is. I think that's a newspaper. That's now just a website. They report that Glenn Beck and Tucker Carlson, each at one time, boasted the status of most watched person on cable television. So that's what I was watching. That's right. I don't think I ever watched Glenn on TV. I think I did, actually. Did I watch him for a while?
We did.
Every night. So back when I was watching, at one time, they were the most watched people on cable television because Doug McBurney was watching. It's obviously making them into important people. All right. So now they're on the Tucker Carlson live tour because Tucker's headlining and Glenn is the opening act, apparently. Funny how things work out, right? But Tucker Carlson did start before Glenn. I think Glenn was like spinning records and getting drunk when Tucker Carlson was wearing a bow tie and being a leftist on National Public Radio, or it might have been public TV. I'm not. Yeah, with a bow tie, it had to be TV. So Tucker was a liberal on TV when he was young. Glenn Beck was an alcoholic disc jockey. Backgrounds, by the way, both respectable for young, stupid people, and something that either one of those are something anyone can overcome and become decent human beings. So I don't want to disparage these two for their backgrounds. I just want to remind you where they came from. So they're on tour, and it's... let's see, they recently gave speeches in which references to God, Scripture, and the end times filled Carlson's 30-minute opening monologue and Beck's closing remarks. So what? So Carlson's the headliner and he still gets the opening monologue? And then what is Beck like, just filling in the middle? So, well, anyway, Beck's statement included a prayer to God. God, the scriptures, the end times, prayer. So it's a regular religion fest. The right wing conservative Tucker Carlson live tour. And they recently appeared in Salt Lake City, which is the head of the Mormon Church. Carlson and Beck condemned transgender treatment for minors. They also condemned foreign conflicts and endless wars.
What about Joseph Smith?
No, they did not condemn Joseph Smith. No. His name never came up.
Okay.
They did. They encouraged condemnation of the censorship of free speech, saying that people who do such things are, quote, working for evil, unquote. That's right. So they mentioned evil and God and prayers and scriptures and the end times. So all the top hot button issues for all of the biblically illiterate evangelicals and fundamentalists out there. So who all bought tickets and showed up because that's what they do. Conservative leaders pointed out that America's problems are much deeper than politics. He says that it's making a difference means making a theological difference. So no, I'm sorry. The difference between people who work for evil and other people who I guess are the people who bought tickets to his gig there, that's a theological difference. There's a theological difference to people who support transgender treatment of minors, support foreign conflicts and endless wars, want to censor free speech. There's a theological difference between them and the people who bought tickets to Tucker's concert, which he didn't sing or play any instruments. But maybe he hired someone or he paid the BMI catalog fees to play decent music, maybe. Anyway, by the way, Tucker Carlson says there's a theological difference. He just picked up the Bible like 20 minutes ago at the age of 50 years old. And now people are buying tickets to hear his theological opinions. So you wonder why the state of the church is so bad. Here's an example of it right here. Here's what people want to pay for. So you preach the straight up gospel and tell people the truth about the Bible and what they need to be doing, which is studying the Bible and understanding the Bible and focusing on the Word of God and learning what He wants you to do today and what He has in store for you in the future. Nobody wants to buy tickets to that. I mean, you'd be lucky to get a group of a half a dozen to a dozen people together and have enough money to actually have a rent a room somewhere. God bless you if you do, by the way. Glenn Beck, the folks at Deseret News remind us. Glenn Beck, the opening act, he's a member of the Mormon Church, which they call the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints because the Mormons wanted to get the name of Jesus Christ into the name of their church. Why? Because they're lying. Glenn Beck is sober as a judge, by the way. He can't use drinking as an excuse anymore. He joined the Mormon Church after stopping drinking, oddly enough. Beck, the Mormon, he said, after studies with biblical scholars, he feels like the world is in the end times. He feels like... he's leaving himself enough room to be wrong about that because he's wrong about that. But Carlson, on the other hand, he says he's an Episcopalian, whatever that means. Well, I say I'm an Episcopalian. So both expressed hope in the individual goodness of people. That's where they have their hope for the future, is the individual goodness of people, because they haven't gotten to the part in the Bible where it says the heart of man is wicked and deceitful above all things, and that men are wicked and corrupt from their youth. and that there's none righteous, no, not one. And that our only hope is in learning what Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and saved us from hell, learning what he wants us to do now, and what does he have for us in store for us in the future. That's where we need to be focused, not on the individual goodness of people and not on the Mormon church and not certainly not on any Episcopalians that I ever knew anyway. Beck reassured the audience that there is more good than there is evil. So now, in an esoteric sense of theological philosophy, that's true because God is bigger than evil. But Glenn Beck isn't talking about theological philosophy. And he's not talking about the world to come because he's not focused on the world to come. So he's a carnal Mormon who's focused on, I don't know, he's focused on, what do the 12-steppers say to get through today? One day at a time. Glenn Beck's focused on one day at a time on the earth and has absolutely no clue about how Jesus Christ wants him to operate in the righteousness that Christ has given him, that he can put on and operate in. Glenn Beck has no clue. He puts on sweaters and whatever. He sells his tickets to his concerts, and he tells people there's more good than evil, and there's hope in the individual goodness of people, and this is the essence of bad religion and why we find ourselves in such a precarious position at this time in history. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Maybe that's the opening song for the Glenn Beck Tucker Carlson tour. All right. So those guys, you probably wouldn't even have to pay their ASCAP fees. They'd just be happy somebody's playing their songs again. Yeah, they're playing casinos out in California and Colorado and... So all over the West, playing casinos in Ohio. They got any Indians there. All right. So let's go from the Glenn Beck, Tucker Carlson theological brain trust tour into the war over in the Middle East, where Israeli officials have offered Hamas leader Sinwar an exit from Gaza in exchange for the hostages. Unless this is a trick, this is deplorable. But it could be a trick because, the Israelis. They tell Sinwar, yes, we'll give you escape from the country and $1 million. We'll put you on a plane. We'll send you to Switzerland, but just give us back the hostages. And then as soon as they get back the hostages, they kill the guy, which would be cool. But it seems like this is a legitimate tactic of the negotiators in Israel. They say, we want the hostages back. We want demilitarization and de-radicalization, of course. We want a new system in Gaza. That's according to Gal Hirsch, the top hostage negotiator, who's been negotiating with the maniacs who took the hostages who were wasted at the rave party, took them and then chained them to Sinwar in a tunnel right now, and killed and raped and tortured and just brutalized the rest. And Israel's negotiating with these people. Why? Because the criminally insane sex cult that controls the flow of money into Israel, money and arms, has insisted for the better part of 40 years that Israel must negotiate with these people and must live side by side with them. Because I don't know what it is. It's as if the criminally insane sex cult that runs the world enjoys watching these two groups of people brutalize one another. I know. Is that too cynical? Okay, well, I can't explain it any other way. Because at some point, Israel has to eliminate the threat of this type of thing ever happening. But since the Western governments can't eliminate the threat of the kidnapping and abuse of children on a regular basis, that's broadcast. There's tapes of it on the internet that could be tracked to the people. The West can't. There's not enough police to track the videos of all the perverts that are abusing the children. And there never can be, despite what Tim Tebow might think. There can't be enough police to police that. That has to be stopped at the source through fear and terror of justice, which is the same thing that would stop the Muslim fanatics from attacking the Jews. Fear of immediate painful retribution. And so since no one at the top of the sex cult and no one in the money raising and the fundraising and money spending machine, since none of them know that or even have an interest in that, then this will go on and on and on. And maybe there are some of the darker forces, some of the principalities and powers in high places, the evil, wicked, they might actually enjoy all of watching all of this, which is sick, and it kind of explains some of it anyways. Because most of the people involved, they're like Tim Tebow. They're just ignorant and hapless. They actually want to do good and think they might be doing good. But they're being controlled by people who are enjoying watching the suffering, which is just sad. It's a sad state. And so from there, we go to something that's not nearly as terrifying or surprising, and that's the Venezuelan gangs taking over the slums in Aurora. So when my extremely attractive audio engineer and I, when we first arrived in Colorado, one of the things we were told was don't look for an apartment in Aurora. That's right. So, and the person who warned us off of that, it wasn't like a high upper class, okay? I mean, we were not circulating in even the middle class back then. We're circulating among the lower classes in the back of the bars in Denver. And those people said, whatever you do, don't look for an apartment in Aurora. And we even looked at a couple and we realized they were right. Don't. So what's happened to Aurora, Colorado should be of no surprise. Aurora's been a dump. Large portions of Aurora have been a dump for at least 30 years. And then in 2021, and so you wonder, how do a bunch of Venezuelan gangs end up taking over apartments in Aurora? Well, in 2021, the criminally insane sex cult signed the American Rescue Plan. They allocated $3.8 billion, potentially, to the state of Colorado if cities declared themselves welcoming cities, which Denver did, of course, because they're a bunch of communists. And then the criminally insane sex cult members who run Denver started to draw on this reservoir of money. That's right. Denver contracted with two local non-governmental organizations, which is a lie. So when you say non-governmental, that's a lie. You shouldn't have to put that in your title. You shouldn't have to tell me you're non-governmental. That should go without saying because you don't work for the government. So the fact that you say you're non-governmental means you're lying to me and you are working for the government. And it turns out they were. Vive Wellness and Papagayo are these so-called non-governmental organizations organized to provide housing and services to migrants. These NGOs are run by Yoli Casas and Marielana Suarez, who have no experience in large-scale migrant resettlements, according to the story from the City Journal in Aurora. Why do they have no experience in large-scale migrant resettlement? Because nobody does. We don't have those. When did we start having those? How could we possibly have any expertise in those? So what these women are trained Marxists. These are the same trained Marxists who founded Black Lives Matter. They're cut from the same cloth, and they're working for the same team on the same end goal. of establishing the criminally insane sex cult via Democracy in America by replacing Americans with third world foreigners by the millions and getting them registered to vote. That's what it's all about. And they're doing it right there in Aurora in front of God and everybody. In front of the Republican Party, in front of the mayor, Mayor Kaufman and the governor out there. I don't even know who the governor is anymore. It doesn't matter. And so listen to this. So the trained Marxists come in with a bunch of federal money, and who do they find waiting? Slumlords in Aurora. That's right. They begin working with landlords, meaning slumlords, in Aurora to place migrants into subsidized rental units. And so these greedy slumlords, they see the money from the government's free money. And so they start kicking out the normal people and bringing in the guaranteed money from the government. And it was a booming business, according to the Aurora City Journal. Within 6 months, 80% of the residents of these slums were Venezuelan migrants. So they kicked out the meth heads and the Section 8ers. And they brought in the Venezuelans. What they didn't know, that the Venezuelans would arm themselves with automatic weapons and take over. They're a lot more motivated than the meth heads. Right? And so there's just no good guys here. The bad guys are the communists working on replacing Americans with foreigners to vote in the sex cult forever. And then you've got the capitalists who own the apartment complexes. They're interested in taking the cheapest, dirtiest money they can as long as it's easy from the government. There's no good guys. Everyone's in on the grift. Everyone's on the take. Everyone's getting rich doing evil. And so America has followed the natural trajectory of an earthly kingdom. From hardworking, desperate people who had no one else to rely on but God to build, to create a nation out of a wilderness. Not even a nation, just to carve out a place to survive in the wilderness. And so from those people came great godly people who built the greatest nation in the history of the world. And now we've reached the end of that trajectory to where now everyone is getting rich doing evil. And that will end in the destruction of a nation, our nation included. We're not accepted from that. That's the way God designed the system. When you're focused on Him and working hard and helping your neighbor, things go very well. When you're on the take and you're doing evil for money, things end badly and everyone gets killed in an orgy of civil violence. So, or another nation comes in and takes over, which, although this is kind of unique in that we're importing the foreign nation to come in and take over and getting rich doing it, which may be unprecedented just because of the technology that's involved. So I don't know that any other country has ever imported their own destruction voluntarily, except the Western democracies in the late 20th and early 21st century. The historians will look back on this one and say, boy, that was something. Now, from the Dazed and Confused file, we have a statement from the 14-year-old killer at Appalachee High School. What do you think his mom has to say about him? She says her son is not a monster. Of course, it's his mom. So only his mom thinks this at this point in history. And she shouldn't, by the way. That's an ungodly attitude. When your son murders four people and shoots up a school, you should be able to accept the fact that he's a monster, but she can't because she's broken too. She's a mess. She expressed her feelings in a public letter of apology that she published on the internet. Here's what the killer's mom said. I am so sorry from the bottom of my heart. If I could take the place of those killed, I would without a second thought. Okay, you should have stopped with I would. Not with without a second thought, because that means you just had a second thought. But I don't blame you because you're a broken person. She says, as a parent, I've always said that the loss of one of my children would be the only thing that I wouldn't be able to come back from. I feel your pain, My heart breaks for the two teachers who gave their lives while in the service of teaching and protecting our children. We are all in a living nightmare right now. I will never forgive myself for what has happened. My son is not a monster. I'm not going to say the kid's name. All right. She says her son's not a monster. She'll never forgive herself for what has happened, meaning she's not willing to say for what she's done, which means she doesn't understand that what she's done has contributed directly to what has happened and that she needs to not forgive herself for that. Don't forgive yourself for any of that. It's right that you should never forgive yourself because you can't. Jesus can forgive you for this, but you first have to understand what you've done, Mom. And what a normal person writes about teachers who gave their lives while in the service of teaching and protecting our children. Would she copy and paste that from the school board website? That's just bizarre to me. How could you even be thinking in terms of bureaucratic, technocratic ease? And I don't know. So this is, by the way, this mom and this killer's dad, they had just finally finished an ugly divorce that the killer has been going through since he was about 12 and he's now 14 and he shoots up his school. The mothers of America today are too often now strung out, tatted up heathens like this woman. Tatted up, drugged up, strung out heathens who get married for I don't know why and then get divorced as soon as the drugs wear off or maybe as soon as the drugs run out or when the money runs out, they just get divorced. And then their lifestyle explodes all over other people, including their kid. And then these days, the kids that their kids decide to hurt because they're hurt so bad. So what they've done, their sin and their wickedness and their selfishness explodes all over other people, even now getting some of those people killed. And those other people, all the lives, those other people are too often now a lot like them. So this was a family detonation brought to you by divorce. I was going to say no fault divorce, but then I scratched out no fault because I realized that's too many words. It's divorce. So divorce destroys the heart and soul and mind of a young child if that child is not tethered to Jesus Christ and godliness in some way. And so that's what we have here. And this is only going to get worse. And it has. I've been saying this since 1999 when the Columbine massacre took place. I said, this is going to get worse. I mean, unless something changes significantly, this is only going to get worse, and it has. To the point where a story like this basically falls out of the headlines within a day or two. Does anyone remember Columbine? It focused the eyes of the world for days. For days, nobody could talk about anything else. And now we don't have time to keep up with them all. So from there, where do we want to go? Okay, so we'll close with, I don't know if this is encouraging or discouraging, but it's the truth. Out in South Carolina, WorldNet Daily reports that David Warner, he's a father, he's afraid now to tell his sixth grade son that his son will have to leave his school and his friends because the North Carolina State Supreme Court struck down the state's school voucher program. And you think, that's terrible. The school voucher program, that's a way for parents to take their tax money and send their kids to the school of their choice, and that's good, and it's terrible that the Supreme Court struck this down. But you got to read the details. The governor in South Carolina had signed the Education Saving Trust Fund Act into law back in March of 23. Part of the law allowed 5,000 eligible students to apply for educational scholarships worth $6,000 each. So that's carefully described language, I'm sorry, carefully disguised language to describe a welfare program built into the School Choice Act by conservatives who are all on the grift too. They're all part of the communist welfare infrastructure. And this was part of their payoff to somebody. So they built a welfare program in for what they call low-income, underserved youth. And this particular family in the story was using that welfare money to send their son to a private Christian school. But now they'll have to send their son back to public school. According to the WorldNet Daily article, now the Warner family will have to send their son back to public school in the middle of the first semester of the school year. And the father says, at public school, he had always been constantly worried about my son being exposed to inappropriate content. And now he has to go back to that. And so I want to say to the father, no, he doesn't have to go back to that. You're just saying that. So you shouldn't have taken the welfare money, first of all, because that's fake and you're stealing other people's money. And second, you don't have to send your son anywhere. Nobody's put a gun to your head and tell you you have to send your son to the government schools. Let's see. I don't know where the kid's mom is, but she should be home teaching him. And the father, David Warner, he should tell his wife to quit her job and stay home and educate their son so that he doesn't have to be exposed to inappropriate content at the government school. And stop taking the welfare money and just stand up and do what's right for your son. So, by the way, this family is portrayed by WorldNet Daily as a conservative Christian family sending their child to a Christian school on welfare money that they're taking from the government who stole it from their neighbors. And nobody even realizes what they're doing. Nobody even realizes the ungodliness of what they're doing. Because nobody even recognizes ungodliness anymore. Forget godliness. In order to recognize godliness, you first have to recognize ungodliness. And everything's been so carefully concealed and manipulated and exposited in deception for the past 2,000 years that nobody knows where we are anymore. Except us here at The Worldview, and there are a few others. We do, and that's why we're here. We're here to help. You can tune in every week and get a perspective on a barometer that might help you recognize ungodliness by presenting the news of the day from a biblical perspective. And we thank you for tuning in. Should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.